Would you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are marking Earth Day, but given the ecological devastation in our world today, it is a little tough to know what to get up and say that is any good news. But this is the season of Easter, and we have our scriptures to turn to, and our faith calls upon us to look to the Holy Word, and so we see that we read today the most common text read after Easter. It's the one we just heard read for us, the story of Thomas. Thomas inside of the scripture reading is called Thomas, who is called the twin, now better known as Doubting Thomas. How's that for a nickname demotion? This story takes place on a day that is shadowed by the cross, shadowed by the power of death. You see, the disciples had locked themselves away inside of a house. They had locked themselves away and were hiding out of fear, hiding in fear of their lives, and they had good reason to be afraid. You see, though it was Resurrection Day, they had not known that. They were not aware of that. It was still the Passover festival in Jerusalem, which meant that the guard, the Roman guard, had still been doubled. The streets were still flooded with Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers who just days before had executed Jesus. Add to that, that the city was still flooded with crowds. The crowds that had turned on Jesus and called for his execution just days before. Added to that, people were starting to ask a lot of questions of the disciples. Weren't you one of the ones who was with Jesus? Surely you must, because you are a Galilean. Things were already looking terrible, and it seemed as if they were only going to get worse. It was on that day, on the day when death seemed to have been at the very height of its powers, it was on that day when Jesus appeared among his disciples. Though they were in a locked room, in a locked house, there he was, as big as life, standing among them, still bearing on his hands the marks of the nails from the cross, still bearing on his body the sign of death doing its worst to him. But there he was, alive again and speaking to them, telling them that just as God had sent him into the world, so too was now Jesus sending the disciples into the world to declare the good news, to spread the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Not only that Jesus had been raised from the dead, remarkable though that would be, but the good news that though Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead, he would not be the last. Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. And that from then on and forevermore, every person, every living thing, every corner of creation, it was all redeemed from the power of death, bought back from the prison of the grave, so that no more would death be the greatest power of all, but life. Life abundant, life resplendent and triumphant, life eternal was to be the destiny of the entire world, all of creation. Jesus sent them into the world. Just as God had sent Jesus, so did Jesus send them to spread the good news, to live like it were true, to live like they believed that death was dead. This was the good news that changed the disciples forever. All except Thomas, Thomas, you see, had not happened to be there. And when the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus alive, when the disciples told Thomas what it was that Jesus expected them to do, Thomas wouldn't believe them. He said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails on his hand and put my hand in the wound on his side and put my finger in the marks of the nails on his hand, I will not believe." Because he lacked certainty. The certainty of seeing it with his own eyes, the certainty of touching it with his own hands, the certainty of putting his finger in it. Because Thomas lacked certainty, he would not believe that life had triumphed. And what's more, Thomas would not be joining the disciples. He would not be joining them in doing what Jesus had told them they were to do. Thomas did not even believe in the resurrection. He certainly was not going to go and proclaim it to the world, live like it were true, be transformed. Thomas lacked certainty, so he would not do his part in the redeeming of creation. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, Jesus says to Thomas. Now, in his own way, Thomas points us toward faith. Thomas points us toward faith in that he is pointing away from himself. Faith. Faith is when I do not have certainty, but I still allow myself to be transformed by the good news of Christ's resurrection. Faith is when I do not have certainty, but I still live my life like it is true that death is dead. Faith is when I do not have certainty, but I will still take up my part, my small part, in the work of the redemption of all creation. That is the work of Easter. That is the work of a people of faith. That is what it means to be Easter people, to be resurrection people. It is about living life so that the resurrection is not a story that someone has told me, but the resurrection is something that is a way of living that transforms me and transforms the world. Resurrection faith is about making the resurrection not just a story that someone told me, but a way of living that transforms me and transforms the world. We are marking Earth Day. And our world, God's good creation, Earth Day takes place on a day, today, that is shadowed by the cross, shadowed by the power of death. Ecological devastation reigns supreme, and we have good reason to be afraid and could be forgiven if we wanted to run and hide, if only there were a place. Extreme weather blurs the line between natural and man-made disasters. The collapse of insect populations around the globe threatens a wholesale unraveling of the food chain. Atmospheric carbon is skyrocketing, and despite the dire warnings of scientists, humanity has just notched the single highest carbon emission year of all time. Things look terrible and seem as if they are only going to get worse. A day shadowed by the power of death. Seemingly a power without equal. But even so, But even so, we are an Easter people, and we have seen through what death is. We are an Easter people, and the work of faith is to live like we really believe that life is going to have the last word. To really believe that life and life abundant will triumph at the end of the day. Now, do we have certainty about that? Where is the evidence? The certain evidence that ecological devastation will be reversed. The certain evidence that everything is going to turn out all right. Where is it so that you can lay your eyes on it, put your hands on it, put your finger in it? Where is the evidence? Do we have the certainty? No. No, there is no such certainty. And as people of faith, we should not be waiting around for certainty anyway. But people of faith, I've got some good news for you. If you are working in small ways or large to save this God's good earth, to be a part of the redeeming of all of creation, I have some good news for you. And that is that you are not alone in that work. If you are trying to live a resurrection faith in this world, you are not alone. The world is full of people of faith doing their part in this. Believing and living out a resurrection faith. Now, don't get me wrong. These people of faith, they might or might not believe in God. They might not call God by the same name I do. But if they are living their lives, believing every day, living their lives such that the world might be brought back to life from the brink of devastation, they are living resurrection faith. I know of many individuals just inside of this congregation, Rebecca Bowler and Martha Schick and Helen McCready, to name just a few, who have totally reorganized their day-to-day lives to reduce or eliminate their use of plastics and reduce their carbon footprint. There are a number of members of this congregation who spend their day jobs, day in and day out, working on this issue. Megan Dupuy works doing hyper-local air quality studies to be able to ameliorate the worst effects of air pollution on the poorest among us. Brad Swing is working with the city of Boston to help develop electrical microgrids so that we can switch over to renewable energy at the drop of a hat. Then, even beyond the individuals inside of this congregation, there's the church as a whole. There's this congregation as a whole, led by Mary Ann Lape and Carol Boggs and Ted Wade and Neil Miller and Bev Hanna and Rich Hassinger and Catherine Schofield, who have just completed the work necessary to be certified as a level one green congregation, meaning we have taken real and concrete steps to improve our ecological impact on the earth. Or you could look beyond the walls of the church, beyond the house of the people of God, and look at the Sunrise Movement. It is a movement for collective action on climate change led by young people, led not by people of power and influence, but by young people of faith. Whether they believe in God or not, they are people of faith engaging in direct action and strategic policy initiatives. They have already had an impact, and their meetings just keep outgrowing whatever space they can find. Then there are the scientists. Just across the river at MIT, they're working on major engineering advancements to reduce carbon emissions. One lab is working to create single atom thick polymers. These polymers would be used to work on a nanoscale to separate crude oil into its constituent parts by pumping crude oil through this polymer like a filter. Now, instead of worldwide networks of oil refineries belching smoke into the air as they boil crude oil 24 hours a day, instead, refining oil would be a non-carbon generating activity. There's another lab which is working on how to make steel from iron using molten oxide electrolysis instead of heat. rather than steel mills around the globe burning tremendously hot fires 24 hours a day to melt iron, instead, there would just be the hum of electricity running through chemical baths. These technologies could make steel manufacturing and the refining of oil non-carbon producing activities. Now, what would that really matter? That would reduce global carbon emissions by 25%. Just those two things. Now, do these labs, do they know for certain that these technologies are going to work? Do they know for certain that these will live up to their possibilities? No, of course not. Certainty is not what science is about, but possibility. Does the Old South Creation Care team, or the Sunrise Movement, or the individuals working to reduce their carbon footprint, or any of them, know for certain that their actions are going to be what makes a difference for the future of this planet? No, of course not. Certainty is not what movements are about. Certainty is not what faith is about. We are Easter people, resurrection people. We cannot allow the certainty of success to be the bar that we set for transforming ourselves or transforming the world. As people of faith, we have to live as if we know that death is no longer the greatest power of all, but life. Life abundant, life resplendent and triumphant, life eternal. As people of faith, we must do our part, whatever that part might be, to do our part, to take up our work, to make resurrection more than a story that someone told us, a beautiful story, more than a story that someone told us, but a way of living our lives that transforms us and transforms the world. People of faith, you are not alone. Thanks be to God.